Malka.
Good evening.
Good evening, Hanok. How are you today?
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
We're starting on section 69 tonight, which is the Nephilim were on the earth. And the verse number is 423. L'shem yichud kudsha barichu ishkinte bitchilu urchimu ukilu ukilu urchimu l'yakta l'shem yote bavate yifudash min b'shem kol Yisrael l'mud Torah mitzvah La sok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kanunei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kanuneihu. Ha'nefilim ha'yu ba'aretz anei rabi yasei ilein azah v'azael kema di atmar di'apik lon kachya Barichu, it's a kudsha barichu, mikdushata deilela, veichtema, vehech yachlu, veitkaima, vehai alma, amar rabbi chayayo, ilein hawo ma'anun, diktiv viof, Ya'ufeach al ha'aretz v'ha'ishmal v'ilein at chazu livne na'shaket kechazo dilhon v'etema hech yachlin li'it ha'pacha ha'itmar Teit hap tan, the kama kivav min, uvshata denachtai. A iglimu deavira, de alma de it chazun, kivne nasha. This is verse 423. Section 69. The Nephilim were on the earth. Rabbi Yossi thought that those called Nephilim were Azza and Azazel. And Azael. And as we have learned, they were so called because the Holy One, blessed be He, dropped. The Hebrew word is Hefil, Hepil. He dropped them from the upper sanctity. How, you may well ask, can they subsist in this world? And Rabbi Chiya said that they are among those referred to as birds which fly upon the earth. And these, as we have discussed, appear to men in the form of human beings. And how, you may ask, do they transform themselves from the shape of an angel to that of a human being? As we have learned, they can transform themselves into all kinds of shapes. And when they come down into this world, they clothe themselves with the garments of Earth's atmosphere and take on human form. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Can good angels do the same?
Yes.
Okay.
Also, human beings, when you enter into the higher dimensions, you have to take on the clothes of those higher dimensions.
Give me an example of clothes of a higher dimension.
Give you an example of going to the higher dimension?
clothes. You said you put on clothes of a higher dimension. Okay. Would you explain that?
Your body is the clothing for your soul. So you put on a body that is a body of light. That's one example that you heard.
Okay.
There, I believe there's someone. Go ahead.
The ones that have come down like birds and they transform into that God removed them from the higher world. Is that what they're calling aliens? Or is that something that, you remember we talked about Eve forming these bodies out of Adam's semen that he, when he was in exile or when he went down to the lower dimensions?
Would I remember the question, but it wasn't Eve, it was LL who was forming those bodies.
LL. Okay. Is that part of this discussion?
No, this is a slightly different discussion. It's talking about the fallen angels that fell to the earth, the physical earth that we live in. They took on the forms of human beings, and they walked around the earth. They found the women of human beings attractive, and they took them to wife, and they had children with them. And that's what chapter 6 of Bereshit says.
Okay.
And Rabbi Yossi, I think it was teaching that the Nephilim, which means the fallen ones, were these two negative angels, Azza and Azael.
Were these also the giants?
The giants were the children of the fallen angels.
Okay.
And there were two fallen.
Okay, go ahead.
We'll find that out as we read through this section. If not, I'll explain it at the end.
Okay. I knew we would put on light garments when we'd leave, supposedly die. I'll call it that. I thought the garments of our soul were our thoughts and our words and our actions. I didn't realize that when entering another dimension, which I assume is referring to when we're meditating, that you put on a light garment.
Well,
I don't know if I worded that wrong, but anyway, I hope you can form a question.
You put on garments that are appropriate for that dimension. Because sometimes you'll go to a water world, or sometimes you'll go to a world that is only gaseous or silicon. There's all kinds of dimensions, all kinds of worlds. And each of them has their own garment. And you can't be in that world without their garment. Otherwise, you're like a ghost. They can't see you.
Okay.
And what you see in those dimensions is what the image that they take out of your head and present themselves as. And that's where you have the idea that the clothing is thoughts. Now that I've shocked everybody and have confused them, I'll move on.
I was trying to relate it to a meditation I had one time, and it was quite a while ago, a couple of years ago, and I ended up on a star, and I couldn't get down. And this little It looked like almost like a number six. It was a little curly, stringy string with eyes. Came to my rescue and brought me back down. And so that's the closest I have to relating to what you just said. So I'm not so sure.
Well, when you do meditate, there is always a string of lights that connects your soul to your body. It never disappears, and that may have been what you were seeing. But everybody has different experiences when they meditate or they go to different dimensions. And you'll find that the letters that you use and the music that you use to get into the heightened awareness, all of these different things send you to different dimensions.
Okay.
Verse 420.
I didn't have any feelings of fear, but that I remember.
Well, then if you were not able to get down, and something like a string came to you, that was the own attachment between your soul and your body. It was drawing you. Verse 424. Always remember, if I give you an explanation, it's your experience, and maybe that's a valid explanation, maybe it's not. You'll have to consider the truth of that.
Okay, thank you.
It's not like I'm trying to lie to you. It's just that it's your experience. Okay, verse 424. Vilayakalu, Vait Pashta, Mine Yauvatar, Tau Batar Nashe, Alma Viadkean, Yoma Dainun, Kaime Viose. Harshin livne nasha violi du benin de wikaro liho anakin gavrin vinun nafilin ikrun bene Elohim behait mar. Azza and Azael, who rebelled above, and whom the Holy One, blessed be He, caused to fall from heaven, were forced to put on and to live with the garments of the earth. They could not divest themselves of these garments, and could not return to their former residence with the rest of the angels. They remained forever on the earth. Subsequently, they were seduced by earthly women. They exist to this day, teaching sorcery to people. They begot sons, whom they called mighty and giants. The Nephilim are referred to as sons of Elohim, as has already been explained. Questions, thoughts, comments?
I thought this was the group that actually seduced earthly women rather than being seduced by earthly women. So this reads differently.
Well, yours is saying that the giants or the fallen ones seduced the women?
It says, subsequently, they were seduced by earthly women. And
yes,
I thought it was the other way. I thought it was the other way around in previous, not necessarily in the Zohar, but, you know, previous other commentary. Who knows where, you know.
In the book of Hanukkah, it says that they seduced the women. But you have to remember the book of Hanukkah that came to us over the centuries. There are three versions, and they're all corrupted according to what the Zohar says.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that may be where I read it, because I do have those three copies. They were an online version several years ago. When that movie of Noah came out that caused such a stir in the Christian world, I went online and found the three books of Enoch, I didn't read them thoroughly. I just skimmed through them, but...
Do you know what the big story was all about of that movie? Because I saw the movie, but I didn't understand that there was a big stir.
Yes. They felt that it didn't follow the Bible, is what they, you know, what they called it. They didn't call it the Torah. But yet they didn't realize that it was in their own Bible. You know, because it was one of the apocryphal books at one time.
Right.
But anyway, did give you, you know, an idea, a better idea of who the Watchers were, I thought. You know, they depicted them as these stone-looking creatures. But anyway, I thought it was a good movie. So.
Well, the stone... looking creatures are what is being translated here as mighty.
Okay.
There were two types of children that came out of the marriages or the sexual unions of human women with these two fallen angels. And one is referred to as giants because they were extremely large. In the Bible, it speaks of Og as being connected to Abraham. And Og, there is an archaeological find of Og with a metal bed that's... like 20 cubits long. So that would be around, you know, 12 or 15 feet. And then the others were, half human and half angel. Their angel half could never die. They were eternal. But the human half could die. And that's what those stone creatures in the movie were supposed to be, these people that are referred to as mighty. I have to look at they're called Giborim in the Hebrew Bible. They're just... they were very strong and very, very well known. There was a lot of different descriptions of them. But as the human half died, they essentially were dragging around these dead carcasses. According to the Midrash, they would jump off of cliffs to the rocks to try and kill themselves because it was so horrendous to drag around these dead carcasses, which was the other half of their body. But these were the children, and it was the B'nai Elohim, or it's confusing to me because sometimes the children were referred to as B'nai Elohim, and sometimes the fallen angels are referred to as B'nai Elohim.
Well, when I was first beginning to I guess in my spiritual walk, one of the phrases that I was trying to find out was the meaning of sons of God. And if you start with Genesis, the angels are called sons of God. You know, then a little bit later, it goes all the way to you humans are called sons and daughters of God. And then by the time you get to the Christian Bible, Son of God had a different meaning, but it truly really meant someone who was observant of the commandments. And that was what I was seeking at the time, you know, when I was on this path of letting go of the religion I was born into. That Son of God, of what I was being taught, you know, connected with the man of Nazareth was not the same. It was someone who was observant that an entity would come down and impregnate a human was Greek and Roman mythology. And so that helped me see the progression of the definition of sons of God, or a son or a daughter of God. So I think that we, well, as the good angels in the very beginning, starting with Genesis, were referred to as the sons of Elohim, the sons of God. So.
Understand, but by the sixth chapter, chapter six of Genesis, it's we have the Nephilim, the fallen angels. And the Midrash essentially is saying that there was this argument among the angels, and you've heard the Midrash, but the argument was whether there should be, man should be created or man shouldn't be created. But in the Midrash, it implies that it was physically a war between various races of angels. Like literally a Star Wars, literally a, and then ultimately God. Go ahead.
Are they throwing planets around at each other? Is like Star Wars, or I mean, are they? Is it fire? Is it, you know, what are they fighting with? Their power, their might,
their consciousness.
Because
at the level of an angel, you have mind over matter, or you have mind is matter, depending on the level of consciousness of the angel. So they were
now fighting. Which hierarchy?
And there is also the Midrash of the War of Gog Magog. The Armageddon War is one of minds, not one of consciousness. And if you are aware of it, you'll see it in the way the modern world works. Rabbi Berg used to describe it as the television set. Those waves, electromagnetic waves, were impacting our consciousness, and that was the war of Gog Magog.
And you mean in modern times, like our time?
Yes.
Is that what you're...
And the verse we just read says that in modern times, the Azza and Azazel still exist.
So they're still here from ancient time.
You broke up, so please ask again.
So you're saying they're still here? Is that from ancient time? They're in the same garment as they were descended?
From the time of Adam's creation, they were on the physical world. When Adam was expelled from the garden, they fell with the first or second generation, they fell to the earth.
So those two descendants, or those two sons of God, or Elohim, are still with us today.
Yes.
They're just dressed in different clothing, different garments.
They look like human beings.
So
and
those
they teach,
two...
As the verse says, if you read the verse that we just read, it says...
Well, they're at least 3,000 years old, or if not older.
They're probably closer to 5,000 years old.
Wow. Do they go back into the bird bodies, or do they constantly are in the human body?
No, the idea of the bird bodies is the fact that the angels only have one leg. They're not able to walk. They use their wings to fly. And that's why they're related to birds. But it says they exist to this day teaching sorcery to people. There's also paganistic statements that they taught human women to apply makeup to beautify themselves with makeup. There's all kinds of things because that way they could seduce other men. There's all kinds of meanings to the word sorcery. But did you ever ask yourself, where did the New Age teachings come from? They're essentially done by individual people. Where did they learn this? Today you have all very many different kinds of energy healings and energy healing systems. Did you ever ask yourself, where did they come from? You know, like Reiki gives you an explanation that it comes from a particular Japanese man who was traveling in India about 300 years ago. But somebody taught him. Somebody put the thoughts in his mind.
Which hierarchy were these angels that fell, these two angels that fell, were they in, as far as the hierarchies of the angels?
They were in the angels of Gabriel.
Wow.
Was that the will of Beria?
Say again?
Was that the will of Beria?
The world of Beria? The world of creation?
Yes.
Yes, all of the archangels live in the world of Beria. That's why man has the potential to be higher than the angels, because he comes from the world of Atzilut. Or he is potentially can grow into that world. We learned that just last week in the advanced reincarnation.
Right. If one of these creatures were in the list, would we be able to pick that up? Would we be able to sense it?
There's a midrash that says that while you're sleeping, around your bed, there are entities that come dressed in human form, but they have chicken feet. And the only way you can know that they've been there is if you put sand or mud, clay on around your bed. In the morning, you'll see chicken scratches, chicken feet impressions in the clay or in the sand. That's a midrash that I've read. And there was one evening I went like 2 in the morning to to a 7-Eleven and out to get a few snacks. And what drove up to the 7-Eleven was a car with 7 midgets in the car. And when I looked at their feet, at their shoes, they were not normal shoes. I can't say that they were chicken feet, but it was something I got out of that store and I never went back to it. So I'm not sure that it is true that that's what I saw. But to answer your question, there are people who maintain, the Kabbalist maintains that he can see that and can sense that. Whether a student of Kabbalah is capable of that, I don't know. I can just tell you what the experience I had and not to go back to that story.
Well, 1 year, I guess this would be probably about 10 or 12 years ago, on a vacation, Tony and I and his brother and his wife went to Tennessee, and we were going to see Elvis's at Graceland, not Elvis because he was already dead, but to go to Graceland. And the hotel that we stopped at, or motel, I just had this horrible feeling when we walked in, and I told him, we can't stay here. It was like a thick cloud, choking cloud. And so we left. I don't know. That was just a sensing. That's the only time I felt that I was sensing evil. And I don't know, that may be the one that the person at the desk had a piece of jewelry around their neck that I felt was, if you want to call it a satanic sign, that's what we would have called it at the time.
It was appropriate.
Yeah. And but I felt that before I even saw the attendant. But that was like the clincher. anyway, we left and found another place.
So the answer is you'll have to experiment, but it's not something that it's recommended to experiment with. Most students of Kabbalah are taught to stay away from the negative system.
Mm-hmm. Well, to stay at a hotel, I always say the Shema as we come in, I feel like you're going to have to clean the room spiritually,
Martha, you had something you wanted to say?
We have these individuals that are very, very tall in our day. In fact, the sports people go after them for their height. But I'm thinking those are descendants of the fallen angel of two.
No.
I mean, they're huge. They're tall.
No, I know. You have 7-foot people. You have even people 7'5", 7'6". You have 6'10". Mm-hmm. These are the Kabbalah teaches that the height that someone reaches is based on the spiritual level that they were in their last reincarnation. So when you see somebody who's extremely tall like that, like today I was passing somebody in the hall who is probably 7 foot tall, and
wow.
It's clear that this is his spiritual level is elevated. Because of the way he deals with other people. So, you know, I have come to accept that midrash, that the height of someone is related to their previous spiritual level. And it also makes sense from the standpoint of Oriental people have tended to be very relatively short compared to other the Caucasian race and the Negro race.
Mm-hmm.
So when they came to America, and according to science, they had better nutrition, their children became taller. But there's this reason as to why they were in America that you have to ask, what caused these people to be born in America? What causes us to be born in America? And I think there is an improvement in the height of the human species from one generation to the next, although I haven't researched that, and it's just something that I've picked up, and I can't remember where I heard it, and I can't remember if it's really valid. But according to the Kabbalistic teachings, your spiritual height is an indication of the spiritual level you were in the previous lifetime.
So if they're taller, or they have achieved a more spiritual tikkun, or does that indicate that?
It just indicates that their tikkun might be easier, but it also is an indication that they're a more spiritual person, they're a more sharing person in their last lifetime. Doesn't mean that they maintain that height in this lifetime. They may have learned through what they learned in this lifetime to be even more spiritual, or they may have fallen and learned to be less spiritual. Remember, there's always free will. There's always choices
right.
that we make. So just because someone is tall doesn't mean that they're going to be more spiritual.
True. That's true. Back to these rock, the mighty men that we described earlier about being in a rock formation, or threw themselves down the rocks to find death.
Yes.
But we had talked some time back, and I don't remember exactly when, about tikkuns, and some will want to come into a rock to finish their tikkun. And I'm like,
no, not
why?
Some people,
sorry,
will reincarnate. They don't finish their tikkun in a rock.
Right.
Some people are reincarnated into rocks so that they can have the eternity of the rock to contemplate the mistakes that they made. Because, again, that tikkun is mida keneged mida, measure for measure. So what did they do in their previous lifetime? What is something? Have you ever met a person that is so stoic that it's like they're a rock?
Yes.
They're not feeling their emotions. And
okay, so it's a it's a physical emotion, basically, is what you're saying. It's not so much that they reincarnate into a rock, but you're talking more of a personality concept.
No, I'm talking about the emotions and the life learning of a given lifetime. If that person makes mistakes, like he is treating other people wrong, and he truly does not feel any sympathy, that he might reincarnate into a rock in order for him to feel what it's like when there's no emotions.
Okay. Gotcha. So would they stay in that form, or are they just there until they can start feeling the emotion? I never understood that. Why would they want to reincarnate into a rock? Because, but
well,
there's a lot of usage.
They don't want to reincarnate into a rock. That is the judgment of the spiritual court.
Okay.
Then that judgment is based on what is the best place for them to learn the life lessons and to reconsider the mistakes they've made and to learn to control themselves and to learn how to share and to learn the life lessons that ultimately we all have to learn. So they wouldn't choose to be reincarnated into rock, but the court would have ordered them to go there. And they stay in that rock until the rain wears it away, till the river wears it away, till an earthquake breaks it in half. Whatever is the method that rock is no longer the same rock that they reincarnated into.
Okay, that makes sense, because a rock can be used for many things. I got to really thinking about that after we discussed it for a while. I'm like, okay, rocks can be used for this, you know.
Correct.
Which would be some good usage of the rocks. You know, I mean, look at the foundation of the temple. It was, you know, it was rock.
Yes, correct.
So, okay.
So, we will, it's 7 o'clock West Coast time. We will we'll be reading from one of Rabbi Ashlag's essays. And tomorrow at 4:30, we'll meet for the next section, section 70. And tomorrow night, we'll have a Tikkuni Zohar class. Shalom to all.
Hello.
Yes.
May I call you concerning my credit card after the class?
Yes, please.
Okay. Thank you.
You all have a good evening.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.